Hey, good afternoon or good morning. This is Richie with Gridwise Alliance.
Hey, good morning or good afternoon. This is Barbara Cola with Duke Energy. You almost had me there.
Nice to meet you and happy to have you join us, Barbara. It's just you and me on the line so far.
Okay, thank you. And this is being recorded?
I just began the recording, and when everyone jumps on, I'll make sure that everyone's aware of that, but it is only being recorded for those on the call. It will be used just as to make sure we captured everything correctly, and then will be immediately destroyed probably in the coming 2 weeks or so. But it will not be circulated outside of this group. There is one person that may not be on this call who is helping us write, and we will send this copy to them. His name is Ronnie Sandoval. He is on our board, and it's an internal group here, though, that's working on this.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Is that all right? I'm saying that, but is that okay?
Yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to be transparent about that.
Yes. Great. Thank you for asking. And Barbara, will your team be joining with you together, or is everyone calling in from different places?
Evan and Justin may be calling in together.
Okay. Where are you based out of?
We're all based out of Charlotte.
Okay. All right. Great. Barbara, I'm just going to go on mute while we wait for some others to join, okay?
Thank you.
Hi, good afternoon. Did someone just join?
Hi, yes, it's Justin Brown and Evan Shearer from Duke Energy.
Wonderful, welcome.
Thank you.
Hey, Richie, Michelle just joined.
Wonderful, thank you, Michelle. Justin and Evan, you have Barbara Coppola from your team also on the line. We're just going to wait for one or two more people from our side, and then I think we'll just do really quick introductions on your end, and then we'll just get right into it. We want to stay on pace here and make sure that we have a good conversation.
Sounds good.
Hi, did someone else just join?
Hey, this is Jeff Brooks at Duke Energy.
Hi, Jeff.
How are you
today?
Good.
Okay.
And, Richie, just so you know, Gomesy and Jenna are not joining.
Well, then, thank you for that reminder, Michelle. So we've got everyone from our team, then, on here. So I've got Barbara Coppola, Justin Brown, Jeff Brooks, Evan Shearer, from Duke Energy. Is there anyone else from your team that we should expect?
Nope, I don't think so. I don't. Barbara's not in here. I don't know if she's going to be joining this afternoon.
Yeah, I'm on the call. I'll be down in a minute.
Okay. Fine. You can come to my office if you'd like, Barbara. Or
I'll be down in just a minute. Thank you.
Okay. I think we're ready to go, Richard.
Perfect. So I'll just go over some housekeeping items here. Barbara brought this up just when she joined, but we're recording this this call, and it's only for the purpose of playback. As you just heard, two of our team members are not able to join, so we'll send this recording around just so we can make sure we get our notes right, but it will not be shared at all outside of this group except for one or two other people on our planning committee that are on the GridWise Alliance board. That's Steve Callahan of GridBright Solutions and Ronnie Sandoval, who is working as a consultant for himself. So that's the group that would be hearing this. Afterwards, it will then be destroyed once we get the proper notes. So I just want to make sure everyone's clear. Is that okay?
Yeah, just a clarification. Ronnie, he's working for himself?
Ronnie Sandoval, he used to work with EDF.
Yes.
And, he has moved on from EDF and is beginning his own consultant business.
Okay, I did not know that. I haven't talked to him in a while, so good to know. Thank you.
Wonderful. So, with that, I want to just start off really quickly on a high level of where we've gotten with the Grid Modernization Index, the report itself, what's brought us to this day here where we're having this conversation. I don't want to regurgitate the email, kind of explains the purpose of this call here. But it's a little different this year, and I know Evan's been closer to the GMI in years past, but I'm not exactly sure how close everyone else has been, at least in the data collection process, in the past. So I thought I would just start of explaining a little bit of how this is different this year and this report and the purpose of this call, and then I'll stop there and see if there's any kind of questions off the bat, and then we'll get right into the conversation more about this grid improvement plan. Does that sound good?
That sounds good.
So in the past, the GMI has been very focused around data collection. Every year we go out, there's 100 questions. We get as much data as we can from different states, and we rank states accordingly based on grid operations, policy advancement, and customer engagement. And what we've noticed and what we've realized is that we're kind of missing the boat a little bit on there's a lot of things that are happening that might not get captured in data. It might not get captured in how many smart meters do you have or how much solar do you have on your grid and things like that. So what we're trying to do this year is let's tell the story a little bit better. So let's get some insights from our members. Let's talk to our utilities. Let's see what's important as far as things that are happening on the grid or within collaborations that are affecting kind of grid solutions. What's important to our utilities, and so that we need to be able to paint the picture of, the pace of change is happening, and it's being pushed by the market, it's being pushed by policies, it's being pushed and advanced by utilities and customers, why, and, what can we learn from it? So that's the goal, really, of this year's project. We normally produce this in December. This one's going to be produced later in February. So the timing of this conversation is really to glean more insights about the work you guys are doing in North Carolina and around this improvement plan so that we can better tell, how are things changing at a state level more anecdotally than quantitatively this year. So that brings us to kind of this conversation in detail. But are there any questions just about GMI in general or other purposes of this call before we get into specifics?
Maybe I can add something, Richie, that the reason why we're doing this interview, gang, is that we want to really provide a spotlight on the work that you're doing and then tie that to the broader trends. And then hopefully provide, demonstrate the breadcrumbs to show where other people can do similar or like kinds of things.
Good. Okay.
Great. Thank you, Michelle. Barbara, did you have a question there, too?
She may have dropped off and walked into my office. That may be what she did.
Okay.
Yep.
All right. All right. I thought I heard a couple other thoughts. But, okay. Well, so with that, Evan had been kind enough to share the full pre-read packet from the stakeholder workshop that was, I think, about a year ago, but there's certainly been work on that behalf, you know, over the last 12 months. So I think that was a great kind of start for us. But, Michelle, I think I'd probably hand it off to you just to start getting into some of these questions that we had circulated about a week and a half ago or so, and we'll start there, and you can really go wherever we want with this. But, you know, I think I'll have you, Michelle, lead this, if that's all right.
Perfect. Yeah, so thank you all for your time. I'm just going to follow along the questions, and then we can make this a dialogue if we take it in different directions. So first question, what is your organization strategy regarding resiliency and grid improvement, and how does your current work fit into that strategy? That's you know, anything new beyond the pre-read, or if you want to maybe start with the work that you started last year and then move it forward to today.
Yeah, so I probably will kind of use the pre-read. And so the pre-read that Evan had passed along was one of our exhibits that is a public document. It was filed in a late 2018 two rate cases in South Carolina. And it's really a product of stakeholder engagement that the company initiated in kind of spring of 2018, realizing that we had grid improvement needs that needed to happen. And so we don't really, at the company, think about our grid and the improvements it needs really in grid modernization terms. We kind of think of it more holistically, really, in kind of grid improvement overall, because you asked a little bit about resiliency and overall improvement. So I'm glad you did use the word improvement there, but we do think about it as far as improvement. One of the things that we undertook in 2018, and this shows up in the pre-read packet, is we did identify what we called 7 megatrends, which were, you know, threats to grid infrastructure. Those were really bundled into cyber and physical security threats. And we provided and shared all of these megatrends with the stakeholders along the way and got their input and feedback. You know, do they think these trends that we've identified that will affect the grid, that are affecting the grid now as well as into the future, do they agree with them? Do they feel like they were worthy enough of taking action upon them? Because, you know, we do. You know, the kind of the core, the bottom one around kind of protection of the grid really is the growing threats to grid infrastructure. And we feel like we need to have a body of work, programs and projects around that continually focuses in on both physical and cybersecurity. And so that's a kind of a core tenet of really the whole plan is we got to start right there and make sure that is correct as well. We also identified, you know, technology advancements, realizing that renewables, overall DER, changes in battery storage technologies, and overall the collapsing prices generally in renewables is continuing. It, you know, individuals are going to want to put more and more solar perhaps on the rooftops. There will be more and more electric vehicles that attach to our grid, and it's going to change the way really our residential and commercial customers consume electricity and as well as want to basically put it back onto the grid. Environmental trends, you know, kind of thinking of what our customers want. We kind of surveyed nationally as well as here in the Carolinas around, you know, states acting upon wanting greener technologies, corporations wanting more and more carbon-free electricity, and overall a larger sustainability focus. And we can't just focus just on residential customers. We had to look at what our larger customer base is wanting there. Overall, as well, weather impacts. You know, we took a look at what's our outage history and why that outages are occurring, and we clearly looked at weather data. With the number of named storms that are impacting especially our Carolinas jurisdictions. And when those named storms, those big hurricanes come through, or it may be ice storms come through, you know, whenever we have to go out and restore the system, all customers are asked to pay for that restoration. So we need to start building programs and services that harden our system as well as make it more resilient because of the weather events that we're seeing increase. Overall, you know, the convergence really of IT and operational technologies continue to occur. The number of smart meters that are installed throughout the country, as well as we have a smart meter deployments going on in all of our jurisdictions, and we're just ready, getting ready to wrap up at the end of this year in our DEC service territories. That generally serves the western part of North Carolina down through the western part of South Carolina in our service territory. We're just wrapping up a large AMI deployment at the end of the year, and we're actively deploying in our Duke Energy Progress in the Carolina service territory. We're actually finished in South Carolina totally. So, again, putting that infrastructure out there that gives us more understanding of what's happening and that two-way communication was important. And kind of a nuance in a way that when we started looking at trends as well is the, you know, outlined in that pre-read is concentrated population growth that, you know, we in the South here, in the Carolinas especially, are still continuing to grow at a pretty rapid clip. And primarily that growth is occurring in our urban areas. And, you know, whenever that growth and new housing and new businesses come along, we have to grow our infrastructure appropriately in those areas. And we realize that, you know, our rural areas may not be getting the newest equipment just because they're not seeing the greatest amount of growth. And so we need to make sure that we have a balanced look really at our investments that are occurring there. And then finally, you know, we did some research kind of on customer expectations and what they're looking for, and really understood that, you know, AMI is a key cog in the wheel there, that we have to have the ability to have two-way communication with our metering environment so we can offer new products and services to customers is very important, as well as overall with some of our programs on the grid, that we don't want to have a day where a customer wants to, you know, at their house put some rooftop solar on and we'd be in some type of moratorium on rooftop solar, for instance, for residential customers. So that private rooftop solar, we want to make sure that we are posturing our grid really to for a two-way power flow capability that is smart thinking. That kind of, if there's a fault, if there's a car accident, a tree hits a line, that the grid can reroute the power and accommodate that. So it kind of all wraps up with those seven megatrends is what we call our grid improvement plan starts to tackle. So it's not just a traditional utility view of just looking at reliability only. It really is trying to say, what does a modern grid infrastructure need to be prepared to react to? I'm sorry, that's kind of a long-winded answer, but hopefully that helps kind of level set.
No, that does. And, I mean, it sounds like from a design principle, you really started with the customer and then added all these elements of the required resiliency changes.
I think you're right because you know, I'll be honest with you, you know, when we first started thinking about this, you know, I think we, as a utility, wanted to go into our traditional thinking a little bit of what we believe could be some of the programs and projects that we think we should be implemented. We found out really quickly from some of the stakeholders that they had views as well. And, you know, one of the things that we had to adjust and through that stakeholder process was, we removed some programs from our grid improvement plan and added some programs. And some of the things we added, you know, quite frankly, I think in the end, makes it a more holistic and valued plan, both from the company and the customer. So I think, I mean, one of your questions talks, I think, a little bit about what do we learn from this initiative is, I think we learned a little bit about, hey, we want to be an enabling utility, but we also need to realize that we shouldn't be afraid to take input from our customers and stakeholders, and we really have to be able and willing to be transparent, you know, modify our plans where it makes sense, because we got to recognize there's a lot of different interests out there and perspectives, and really work to find some common ground. And I think we did find common ground on our megatrends that are out there. And you know, we did intentionally modify some of our programs by removing some and getting adding some as well, based on direct input from some key stakeholders.
And just a curiosity question, are you then using that as kind of your communication piece for update conversations with that same stakeholder base?
Yeah, so we have had in South Carolina and North Carolina combined, we had, I think, in 2018, we had three formal, long, you know, day-long stakeholder meetings, and then we had several, you know, sideline conversations. And then in 2019, we've had multiple webinars. We've had face-to-face meetings as well. We've had one-on-one meetings with key stakeholders that they've asked for to get and understand our plan a little bit more in depth. So we've continued that engagement starting that in 2018 through 2019. And in complete transparency, we filed two rate cases in North Carolina over the past 2 months. One was in late September, and then another one in late October that we're in the middle of now, that this stakeholder-informed plan that really matches up to what we filed in South Carolina late last year, it's essentially the same type of plan there. So we're using that stakeholder input and continued input to for the plans that we did file in both states.
Awesome. And so that brings us to what didn't go so well. So the challenges or the opportunities, the next question.
Yeah, so what maybe didn't go as well? I think, you know, I mentioned it at first that, you know, early on in our stakeholder process, I think I would say that we kind of thought we kind of had an assumption of what we thought we should do, right? And
okay.
I mentioned
yeah.
about our willingness to take input and change. And I think that was one of the bigger, I wouldn't say it's really a growing pain, but it's one of the bigger aha moments that we had, that we shouldn't operate in a vacuum as a utility, and we have to start listening more attentively to our customer base, not only residential, but also our large business customers and other stakeholders that are interested in what we do in our jurisdiction. So I think that is our biggest aha or learning moment, that, you know, we had as a group, that it's okay because we can find common ground and both advance what we believe as a utility are important, as well as advancing some of the key items that our stakeholders want. So it's really that's a big learning for us there.
And then operationally, because we do forecasts all the time, and especially with these emerging technologies, I think we've all had a hard time really giving a good feel of what the take-up rate is going to be. So how are you prioritizing these investments based on differing take-up rates than what you originally thought of in 2018?
Yeah, so good point. So one of the things that we kind of broken our plan up into protect, we have a group of projects, and those are primarily, as I mentioned, starting off cyber and physical security programs. We have a bucket of programs that we call modernize. Those are generally thought to be projects and programs that any logical individual, both inside a utility and outside a utility, would say it makes sense to do, that these types of projects and programs are required to have a modern system. You know, in other words, they're no-brainer. Yeah, if your radio was to break in your car, you're not going to go get a, you know, one that still has an 8-track player in it. You're going to get the most modern type of type of radio for your car, for instance. So those are no-brainer type investments. And then the ones that are maybe a little bit more edgy, a little bit more different than traditional type investments, we categorize those as optimized. And for those, we were very transparent and say, hey, these types of programs will commit to doing a cost and benefit analysis for these and be transparent and show you what it is. And so part of the stakeholder engagement process that we used, we created an external data room that we started sharing all this information with our stakeholders ahead of any type of regulatory filings, where we had our cost-benefit analyses for projects that we considered in the optimized bucket, so that they could see how we are evaluating both the cost and benefits for these potential programs. And, you know, it's not to say that they always need to pencil out financially, because there's some things you need to probably take a consideration on. Is it the right thing to do because it changes the way, changes the grid in a way that we know and can agree upon it needs to move forward into the future? But things like battery storage, for instance, you mentioned about uptake rate. Battery storage prices, you know, we outlined in our pre-read packets in our documentation with stakeholders that, hey, we believe that's going to continue to fall in price. That industry is still maturing quite a bit. Things are changing very quickly with chemistries and various things for those utility-scale batteries. But we're going to commit to looking at those. And if it makes sense as a grid investment, then we're going to look at implementing some. Will we go slow? Yeah, probably so. But we're going to do it in a more deliberate fashion. I think part of what maybe allowed us to gain a little bit of respect with our stakeholders as well is, number one, we included battery storage, which is a little bit more edgy, but we also talked about electric vehicle or electric transportation and admitted, hey, that's going to have effects on our system. There's a lot of infrastructure that perhaps the utility is in a position that we could deploy that could help spur electric vehicles to be to take on a little bit faster in the jurisdictions which you operate. So that was kind of a part in a conversation in our plan. So we tried to not just look at maybe just the traditional utility investments, but, again, looked at those investments that are a little bit more edgy that could have clear benefits, both financially speaking as well as qualitative speaking, documented. And we committed to transparently showing that to stakeholders. And they provided feedback. We shared a lot of those CBAs, and we had one-on-one. I mentioned webinars. We had a few webinars set up where we specifically dedicated, you know, an hour's worth of time to go through kind of our costs and how we valued the benefit of those particular programs. And it was helpful. It was helpful.
Yeah, because, I mean, just those things can be such a morass, right, even for those of us who understand it. So that's fabulous. That's great that you did that.
And I would say, too, one of the key – I'm sorry, go ahead.
No. You keep on going.
Okay. Look, one of the key components that I feel like we had to establish up front was that, you know, the value – our product being electricity in and of itself, it has value. And whenever it's not there or not turned on, or you lose power, that causes disruption to everyone, right? To residential, commercial, and industrial customers. So we have relied heavily on, in our cost-benefit analysis, the ICE model. You may be familiar with that that model that was created several years ago. So we do use the components and information from the online, from the ICE calculator.
Right. The data that monetizes the value of the electricity.
The monetizes the value of electricity in our cost-benefit analysis. Thank you, Barbara.
Okay, fabulous. NCV. Okay, terrific. And then I'm going to skip C. So D, how do you define success? And then, but let's talk about it at a macro level, and then let's talk about it also for the these buckets that you talk about, the protect, the modernize, and then the optimize, and any specific metrics that are relevant.
Right. So part of the conversation we had really is our programs, the reason why we selected the programs we selected and got the input from the stakeholders were that we all agreed upon the megatrends, those seven trends and challenges that are coming to our infrastructure. And so I think a measure of success that we would look at is, number one, we gained agreement from the stakeholder groups about the megatrends, that those are real trends that are affecting the grid today and into the future. And so gaining agreement was, I think, a big success point. Number two is our plan really addresses all of those. So, you know, there's nothing in there in our plan that says, you know, we want to increase reliability by X percent necessarily. It's,
right.
You know, our stakeholders, quite frankly, expect strong reliability from their utility. And there are base programs that are continued at the utility, and we call those maintain, that we're not looking for any special, you know, recovery treatment on or anything like that from a regulatory perspective, that those are meat and potatoes. Those are going to stay where they are. But really, measures of success are we addressing in some way with all seven of those megatrends? That's certainly a measure of success that we're looking to, because, you know, we've just done three-year plans. And so after 3 years, if we feel like we're not addressing those, or if those trends change, we're nimble enough that we can pivot to something else, pivot to addressing a new challenge that may not be known right now. And so by not doing a huge long time frame of a project, I think chopping it up into maybe 3-year views could be, again, another kind of level of success for us.
Yeah, and
I would agree. I think, go ahead, Barbara, I'm sorry.
I was just going to say, another measure of success is successfully executing our plan. So are we executing our plan on time and within budget in order to deliver that value to our customers?
Great.
I was just going to add, you know, I think we're categorizing it as business is unusual in a lot of ways. And so if you can infuse your organization with agility, I think that is a huge success factor, because then that'll help you a lot respond to these trends that we don't even know are going to happen.
Yeah, and that was an important part that I think we had to admit, and I think we forced some of our stakeholders to be honest with themselves as well of, you know, when we went through and we did all this research to identify the trends, that's what we know today. We're not going to come in here with a 10 or 15-year plan necessarily. We're going to start in these smaller tranches, and right now we're honest with our stakeholders. There's not an additional 3-year plan that we have. The 3-year plan that we're asking for right now is what we have, and we want to, like Barbara mentioned, we want to execute well and efficiently with what we have. And at some point through that process, yeah, we'll probably start a lot more intensive discussions with stakeholders about, all right, what do you see next? Has anything changed?
Right.
And be able to adapt to that as best as possible. But I think we all kind of agree, you know, we're kind of building this energy highway that's a little bit different that's been in the past for us, that you know, it has to have this two-way power flow capability, and again, has to be able to react a lot quicker than through manual type intervention.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, I had a question just to follow up on
please.
On some of those programs that you've mentioned. I was looking at the table of contents, and then, you know, you have a page or so on almost all these different programs. How are you guys going about prioritizing if it's, you know, if there's only 3-year plans? Is it you can't do everything all at once. How do you guys go about it? Is that through the stakeholder process too, or how does that prioritization look like?
Yeah, so I think that's a good point. You know, the dollar figure that we sent over for South Carolina, that three-year plan totals about $455 million, right? And that's for both of our utilities in South Carolina. I'll be honest with you, from, you know, above and beyond kind of maintaining the base and doing base work, that's an appropriate amount of work that, number one, we feel like as a utility we can execute at this particular time in a cost-effective and efficient manner. All of those particular projects in there, we believe we can do. I would say that for battery storage, that one I kind of picked on, that the industry kind of has to continue to morph and change and mature, that if for some reason, you know, through a cost-benefit analysis that it's just not penciling out yet, then we're going to wait. We're not going to spend money frivolously, you know, on particular, you know, little science projects for the masses, for customers in South Carolina. So if for some reason something's not penciling out in an optimized fashion, you know, we're gonna slow down. So Barbara has something to add too.
Yeah, and I was just going to add that, you know, we prioritized our programs based on their ability to address the implications of the megatrends. So the more the program responded to mitigating the risks against the megatrends, the higher we prioritized that program. And so that's from a macro level. And then from a micro level, we looked at each program, and we had criteria that we used to select where on the grid we were going to do the work. So, for example, targeted underground, we had a number of different criteria, you know, backlot, heavily vegetated, you know, constructed in the 50s and 60s, so, you know, old conductor. And so we had a list of criteria of those worst performing circuits, and also based on analytics, we used a lot of analytics to identify, you know, the criteria and how we would select different different circuits and substations, et cetera, for all of our programs. For self-optimizing grid, you know, we had criteria established, you know, maximum of 2 megawatts, 400 customers, 3 miles. So we had certain, you know, certain criteria where we were trying to maximize the amount of value we could deliver to customers based on criteria that was use analytics to help us understand where to target.
Helpful. Thank you.
Great. Yeah, thank you.
All right. I know we touched a little bit upon lessons learned from the project. So you were surprised about some of the stakeholder reaction. You were surprised about some of the adoption. Anything else that you want to capture here, what you learned specifically, customers, team, market, stakeholders, or partners?
Huh, let me think. I don't know
if it was necessarily stakeholder reaction. It was just very interesting that you would have different customer segments, and even within that customer segment, there were different levels of interest for different priorities. And so,
okay,
you know, just the, you can imagine we serve all customers, and even if you try to look at, you know, the folks that are focused on the environmental aspects, folks that are concerned about, you know, costs, folks that are concerned about, you know, helping to protect lower income customer segments. So I think even within, so just a wide variety of interest and input, I think was challenging to try to understand really for all of our stakeholders what, you know, what were the highest priority items for them? How did we boil that down? And then how did we make sure we were responding to that in the plan?
I think that's a good point, Barbara, is I think that's going to be a challenge for any utility. I would say it would probably be a challenge, an opportunity for us still moving forward, that, you know, all those stakeholders that we had in the room, all of them have different ideas and thought processes, and they don't always align. And we're kind of, as a utility, we're required to serve all. We're kind of stuck in the middle, and we like that opportunity to bring everybody together. But you're probably not going to please everyone as we kind of move through. But it was still some interesting that there was a lot of common ground that could be farmed.
Yeah, and I think it was also interesting for those stakeholder and customer groups to learn more about each other. So they learn more about each other, what each other's priorities were.
That's a good point.
That's awesome. That's the first time that's come out, so thank you for that. Each other. Okay, good. What are the three most important things you think other utilities should know or do before they engage in grid improvement plans?
I think I kind of maybe hit on a little bit is, being open to feedback. And, if another utility is kind of sitting there, being open to that feedback, it does take dedication and really support and pushing and being transparent, because you don't want, 6 months or 8 months to go between your engagement periods, that when you're engaging stakeholders, they expect that you take their feedback, you think about it, and then you come back with your thoughts or revisions and whatnot. So, being open to that feedback, and then, taking that input and saying, hey, that's a commitment. And, we should be committed to keeping our customers' interests front and center for what we do every day. But, when it comes to grid, it's a little bit different paradigm that I think overall utilities, again, have to be open to taking into consideration what customers and stakeholders want. I also think kind of what Barbara kind of hit on was, being able to understand the customer and the different stakeholder value propositions that they have, and that, we don't operate, the grid doesn't operate in a static environment. And we have to build our plan, to be flexible. We have to make sure that the plan that we build, recommend, is perhaps a multi-layered plan that can, you're not going to solve this Rubik's Cube immediately. You're not going to, end world hunger immediately. It has to be very thoughtful and multi-layered improvements that can be built on over time. You're just not going to have, we believe, that one thing that's going to solve everything. It's going to have to be a layered, flexible plan that is built on over time for us.
Mm-hmm. Good. And then as part of the GMI, we're focusing on these three trends. So we talked quite a bit about the resiliency trend, but I wanted to give you an opportunity in this last few minutes to react to the other two trends, namely the electrification or the energy transformation.
Right. So the electric transportation piece, we did include that in our stakeholder discussions. We have a component of that, and it's kind of effects on the grid. So we kind of have that covered together, electrification of transportation. We have, and the company has been pretty aggressive in North and South Carolina with two pilot filings that we've done. They're currently sitting in front of the South Carolina Commission and the North Carolina Commission as we speak. And we kind of see our grid plan partnering with those pilots. So I feel like we kind of have that one checked as well. And then I think I'm looking at your note here. Trend three is activating energy transformations, integrating high penetration of renewables. One of the mega trends that we talked about at the top of the of our conversation was tied to technology advancements in renewables and overall in distributed energy resources. So that's kind of the batteries and solar for us. We all realize that prices are going to continue to go down, likely, for those technologies. And we can't put our head in the sand and think it's not going to happen. We need to figure out how to effectively integrate those into our system so that we can leverage, you know, those technologies to their full potential. And so since that's one of our megatrends, one of our programs is self-optimizing grid. There's a one-page or a couple slides on self-optimizing grid. That's really a key tenet for us because that starts to take, you know, what's kind of a one-way power flow grid from central generation out to the end customer, and it starts to really network and create, I kind of like to call it just like a spider web, more so for our distribution grid. It starts connecting circuits together so that not only do you have to increase capacity of some of the lines, but you have to build some connecting lines that you're able to network those lines together. And what we're able to achieve out of that program is the ability for a smart thinking two-way power flow grid that we're able to automatically reroute power when there's a fault or a problem on the grid, but also it postures us to be able to handle more private rooftop solar. And we think that that's going to continue to grow throughout all of our jurisdictions. And with SOG or the self-optimizing grid, that's going to allow us the ability, again, to be able to accommodate that. And, you know, we're thinking in the future that if there's a pocket of customers that have a lot of the penetration, perhaps of rooftop solars, maybe on some days, we actually need to reconfigure the grid so that we optimize the use of electricity on our system rather than being kind of a static system that just flows really one way. With this ability to switch automatically and tie various circuits together, we do really have a vision and hope for the future that we can optimize the endpoints of our grid to be the most efficient it can and be able to accept the growing DER that we have.
That's perfect. Because, you know, I mean, honestly, there's a lot, you know, there's a lot of utilities that are still at odds with some of these mega trends. And the fact that you all are partnering with your customers to achieve this, I think that's great.
Good.
I want to be mindful of your time. Anything else you want to share or any other comments before we wrap?
I think that kind of overviews it pretty well. I don't think I have anything. Barbara, I'll ask if you have anything.
No, I don't have anything else. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, I have one last question, Michelle.
Go ahead, Ritchie.
This popped into my mind during this call here. Well, North Carolina, a year ago when we did our GMI, the ranking was, I think, right in the middle, like 23rd or something like that. It was kind of down at the bottom of our group that we called Believers, but kind of grouped in with this group that, you know, has made strides and realizes that, you know, a transformation is happening and they've taken steps to start to begin that change. And that was pulled through from the data. And we've talked about it here, but, you know, trying to step back, I feel like we don't pat ourselves on the back a little bit enough sometimes in this, and sometimes we're just kind of taking some heat or flack a lot. But if you guys could step back, you know, over the last year, you know, what would you say to, you know, if there was an industry group that was here listening, like what would you say to, you know, the successes you've done over this past year or the successes of the commission or of South Carolina or North Carolina? You know, how would you rank, you know, have you moved forward? Like, and I think the answer is yes, but, you know, how would you kind of pat yourself on the back and say, you know what, we're doing a good job here. You know, how would you kind of define that? I know it's kind of done in that successes, but just trying to put a little more around, you know, we want to really showcase of, you know, North Carolina's made some improvements over this last year. How would you kind of step back and kind of pat yourself on the back?
Yeah, I would take, I don't want to leave out South Carolina either because, you know, we give them a little pat on the back. You know, I guess number one is, you know, there's no requirement in North or South Carolina for us to put together you know, this grid improvement plan and promote this type of stuff. So we are trying to push it, you know, to try to lead the way, again, being stakeholder informed. You know, so South Carolina did, in those rate cases, approve a settlement. So what you've got in your email, they approved the company receiving accounting deferral treatment for our grid plan in 2019 through 2021. And so I think I'd have to give kudos to South Carolina that the stakeholders there, as well as the commission, you know, felt like that there's value in moving the plan forward down in South Carolina. So kudos to them. I would say that in North Carolina, I have the stakeholders with the commission and the public staff that we deal with have been very open to, and I would say that the public staff was a part of, as well as the Office of Regulatory Staff in South Carolina was a part of, they were a part of the stakeholder process as well. And so particularly the North Carolina public staff did not shy away from perhaps providing some feedback through the process as well in those stakeholder sessions. And so I feel like they're very open to our plan that we have put forward. And like I mentioned, we're in the middle of two rate cases in North Carolina. And so the EV filings are before both commissions in the Carolinas as well. So I would say I'm very optimistic, you know, in North Carolina that they'll see value in what we put forward. They will see value in the efforts that the company have put forward, as well as the stakeholders have put forward in working through the stakeholder process. And we've talked about that in our testimony with our witness. So I'm optimistic, or cautiously optimistic, that the commission will see that we have we've tried again through a stakeholder informed process, and we'll accept what we're doing as needed in North Carolina.
That's great. So just to put a bow on that, it sounds like it really the thing to be proud of is that there is a shift, and that you guys and everyone is kind of a part of this together. That this environment, or for lack of better terms, the atmosphere has kind of changed a little bit, and it's noticeable and it's positive.
I agree.
Thank you.
Great. Yeah, that's awesome.
I don't know, Jeff, did you have any comments that maybe perhaps I missed or anyway?
No, I think you hit most of the main points. I think you brought out all the stakeholder aspects that really do make it kind of innovative how we've transformed that, I think. And I'm biased, but I certainly think that Duke Energy is doing a lot of good things in this space. We've been pretty humble about it over the last year and really taken time to listen to our stakeholders to be more responsive to their needs and not just a plan that Duke Energy thinks is the best way to do it. And I think that whole process has been extremely strong and helped us to really build a plan that has something in it for everyone, but also helps to address the necessary things, as Justin mentioned, that have to be done. So I think overall you covered everything.
Great.
Terrific. Well, thank you all for your time. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for the opportunity to talk with you this afternoon.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, this will be a fun one to write up.
Okay, great.
Good.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
All right, you all.
Please let us know.
We'll do,
absolutely.
We promise.
All right, take care. Bye.
All right.
Bye.